A neo-Nazi charged with killing three people at Jewish centers outside Kansas City last month drove there from his home in the Ozarks. That's a hilly, rural, largely conservative part of southern Missouri and northern Arkansas, and it has a history of attracting white supremacists. The murders in Kansas sparked painful discussion in the shooter's community, where bigotry is an especially divisive subject. But that is not the case in a neighboring town that has earned a reputation for tolerance. Frank Morris of member station KCUR reports.
Springfield, Missouri is the queen city of the Ozarks, and the town square is central to the region's racial history, though you'd never know it by looking.
Well, here we are. I was looking for a plaque. I didn't think there'd be a plaque, and indeed there is not. But this is the very spot where three black men were lynched on the town square on Easter weekend in 1906.
Nancy Allen, a local professor and author, says most black residents fled Springfield, leaving it a largely white city in a very white region, when endowed with a fiercely independent and insular culture. Allen calls it the Code of the Hills.
I am not blind to the shortcomings of this area, and I'll tell you, as a native, we are still mired in the past.
There's some things going on in this country that's destroying us. We got a false economy, and some of those corporations are run by Jews.
That's the former mayor of Marionville, Missouri, on TV last month. The elected mayor, who was pressured to resign days after delivering that soundbite. Visiting his town, you can see why he might be looking for someone to blame for its decline. Marionville has lost its university and factories that once employed hundreds. Downtown is a boarded-up shell. The neo-Nazi accused of the shootings in suburban Kansas City, who's known here as Glenn Miller, bought a house nearby more than 20 years ago and made some friends.
Yes, I knew him. Real nice guy. He'd help somebody. He helped me quite a few times. Real nice guy.
Jason Click sits behind the wheel of a big old pickup with a rebel flag on the ceiling, sporting mutton chops and lots of piercings. He says bigotry, Miller's or the former mayor's, just doesn't faze him.
To each their own, I reckon. If that's how you feel, then that's how you feel. You shouldn't be mad at somebody because their opinion's different than yours.
But the former mayor's comments split this friendly town in half.
People don't want to have the brand of being racist backwoods bigots. And when the mayor made his comments, that's exactly what we were portrayed as.
John Horner lives with his partner in a prominent house in Marionville. He finds this town very accepting, but uncomfortable addressing its differences over racism.
It's like poking at an open wound that they don't want to talk about the issue, because the popular sentiment is if we don't talk about it, it'll go away.
And that holds true for many here, even at the Hillbilly Gas Mart. Having lunch at the long table where everyone sits, Flora Walker admits that some of her longtime customers don't come around anymore. They don't want to be in the same room as those offended by the mayor's comments.
I liked and cared about everybody that was involved. They were all my friends. I care about what happens to them. I don't hate anybody. And it's sad that some of them now hate one another.
Just 60 miles south of Marionville, there's a town similar in heritage, but culturally, it's on a different planet.
I want to thank you again for attending the Great Passion Play.
One of the most infamous anti-Semites in American history, Gerald L.K. Smith, retired to Eureka Springs, Arkansas 50 years ago, erected a giant seven-story statue of Jesus, and established an outdoor theatrical extravaganza depicting Christ's last days,
including his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension into heaven.
Now, the Great Passion Play is scrubbed of its original anti-Semitic message, and the big Jesus gazes over a town Smith would probably hate. Longtime resident Michael Walsh says you just can't miss the gay culture here.
Because there are rainbow flags outside a lot of the gay-owned shops. A lot of us are movers and shakers in town. And then we have a lot of our bar owners. I mean, you're sitting in a lesbian-owned bar right now.
The town boasts three gay pride weekends annually and a vibrant tourist economy. It's about the same size as Marionville and just about as white. But Walsh says that in Eureka Springs, old ways and new culture coexist.
That statue and the Great Passion Play doesn't by any means represent the town. It's only part of the great mosaic in this little town. So it has its place in this community, as do rainbow flags.
Parts of the Ozarks seem to be coming to terms with modern American culture in ways that might shock earlier generations. But it's not happening quickly, or evenly, or without a fight from people who want to preserve a white homeland, where the so-called Code of the Hills still holds sway. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris.
And today on All Things Considered, we go to the hub of the Ozarks culture wars, Harrison, Arkansas, where the Klan and its opponents compete to define the town.